I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, you bring up the documentary.
There was Phantom Menace.
The Phantom Menace.
Oh, the Phantom Menace.
And that covered the members of Starwalking's sort of journey to watch the Phantom Menace.
Yep.
And it's... I don't like... What's your overall... What's your initial just feelings of just... remembering that documentary?
Look, it was good because for many years I said to Darren, it'd be nice to have it memorialise what we do in Starwalking. Finally, we had a professional crew come along and do a doco. And I was fine with it except for one point where it's an edit. And I say one thing and then I say another thing, but it's just an edit thing. And it's about... what's his name with the flappy ears?
Jar Jar Binks.
Why did I forget that? And I'm talking about I'm liking someone dressing up as Jar Jar Binks in a costume, but it looks like I'm talking about the character on the movie because I really denigrate the character on the movie and then I'm saying something nice about him. But, you know, I'm talking about someone dressing up as a costume, but the edit makes me look like an idiot. And I didn't like that part of it. But the rest of it I thought was an honest... and an accurate account of our journey.
It's a time capsule. It really is. Yep. And you look back now, it's like 15 years ago. And the thing that I find interesting is you see all the people who are in that show. I don't mean the public. I mean the people within the club.
Yeah.
And how many of them aren't there anymore and where they all went. And compare it to the people who are around today. It showed us just after the peak of the club. The peak, I think, was in 97 with the... Star Wars 20th anniversary, but it was just after that, you know, with the launch of the new movie in Force 3 and whatever else. And yeah, it shows us, it's great. And I think it's a very good, captures our history very, very well.
Well, I'd watched it last night, you guys, to get to rekindle some memories. And I by the end of the film, you're pretty worn out from running the fan club.
Yep.
And by the end, it's like you've got so much work. Like after the film, it's fascinating documentary because after it shows you guys before the screening, and you look very dapper, Darren, in that tuxedo.
It was a special occasion, so to me, it was always to get people said, "What is he dressed up as?" And it's like I'm dressed up. It's a special occasion. That's the reason why I was dressed up. I did the same thing for Clones and Sith, if I recall.
And afterwards, I don't know, Darren, from my memory of watching the doc, you were.
I was unsure.
Yeah, you're a bit bewildered.
I needed time to sort of... And I had to see it again. And later on in the show, I actually said... I saw it a couple more times. Effectively weeded out the stuff I didn't like. Zeroed on the stuff I did like. And I thought, yeah, I gave it the thumbs up. But after the first screening, yeah, it was like... It was just completely different to what I expected. Yep.
Now, Shane, you were very unconvincingly telling the camera that you really enjoyed it. And at one point, there's another member of the club...
Dave Hankin.
...doing an interview that's a little bit disparaging. Yep. And you get very testy with him.
I do. Well, the thing is, I'm head of Starwalking. And so, it can't be seen. It's like towing the party line. I could not denigrate or disparage the movie. Mm-hmm. I have to sell it. And also, it was a time that Starwalking was doing delicate negotiations with Lucasfilm to be an official Star Wars fan club. And the guy who was doing the interviewing is Pete Ford from Fox Columbia. And he's asking questions. So I didn't like the movie, so I got my hands crossed behind my back, and I'm saying, yeah, go and see the movie again, guys. You're going to really enjoy it, through gritted teeth. And you're right. I can remember Dave Hankin sort of said, no, movie didn't grip me, and I'm trying to say, oh, Dave, no. So, yeah, I guess I did get a bit testy. I can see that.
One of the, yeah. the funniest things in the documentary is your speech before the movie.
There's a pain.
Actually, you know what? Shane said mentioned this earlier. The way they edited this, it was actually the cinema who buggered us up because they kept everybody hanging out for ages and ages and ages, and there was a guy there, some other like media guy, and he's trying to tell the audience, I'm going to do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. And it just dragged and dragged and dragged and yep. dragged. So by the time that Shane and Derek got up to their intro, like 20 minutes had already gone past.
Yep.
So that was actually the edit that made it seem like the guys in the audience were sick of these guys talking.
Yeah. I watched, there's an extra bit on the documentary in the extras where the guy from Channel 7 or wherever he's from is trying to rile up the crowd for his cross and a dude gets up on his seat and moons.
That's right. That was Bree's boyfriend. The other problem was, and I anticipated this, I actually asked if Lucasfilm, could you give us a goodwill message so we could read out at the for the Australian fans at the premiere. And Steve Sanford Sweet coordinated it. And the facts came through, and it just kept coming through and kept coming through and kept coming through. It was like 3 foot long, this goodwill message. And I said to my flatmate at the time, I said, I'm going to get crucified. I have to read all this out before the movie, a goodwill message from Lucasfilm. It just goes on and on. It's blah, 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 blah. So I rang Lucasfilm up, and I got hold of Steve, and I said, Steve, can I get an edited version of this? And he said, no, you asked for it, so you got it. So take it or lump it, and you must read it all. I said all, he said all. And I thought, I know what's going to happen. I so know what's going to happen. So I just knew it was going to happen, and it did. I got popcorn thrown at me. I got booed at. I said, get off, close it out. But I had to keep reading this bloody long-winded message from Lucasfilm.
Oh, see, that God. Wouldn't have been so bad if it hadn't been the Channel 7 guy who screwed it up first.
Yeah.
That's what he set the wheels in motion, and by the time these guys got on, people were over it, and that was very unfair.
And so what time did your midnight screening start?
Oh, something like 25 past 12.
You know, it's history repeating itself, because when Revenge of the Sith was premiered, we were told, oh yeah, Lucasfilm has said start the movie, there's no shit to go on before it, no trailers, whatever. And of course at the cinema there's a trailer for another movie and another movie and another movie, and people go, come on, there's like 7 trailers in, you know, half an hour's gone by, maybe 40 minutes, and then the film finally started. They milked it badly in that one. But yeah, so
it's weird that, because I've got a mentality of, I remember the Revenge of the Sith one out at Knox, and I was sort of just like, oh, I'm here. Like, I don't mind. Like, because I just love that first screen. Like, it's such a, like, every time the, you know, the scroll comes up for, you know, the first time you see it, you're just like, this is the first time I've seen a Star Wars film. This is it. I got to cherish these 2 hours.
Yep.
So, I don't mind that delayed.
But when it's over, a trailer finishes, and you go, let's start the movie. And then another trailer starts. You go, what are these movies? We don't even care about them.
You want to see
and
the movie already. We've been waiting.
But it is, it is
16 years waiting for this movie.
It is fun to book all the other trailers, though.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the, either it was a special edition or one of the premieres, there was a trailer for a Star Trek film before it, and it was just tremendous.
I bet the projectionist was laughing his head off when he put that on.
There is Star Wars.
So the Phantom Menace didn't document that part of history correctly.
No, it's an edit thing, yeah. And it sort of misrepresents you a little bit. It's not quite how it was, but anyway.
And your big message before seeing the film was...
Lucasfilm's big message.
No, your big message that you repeat in a lot of the interviews was... Oh, no, not the faxed message.
Oh, sorry.
But your thing was like... Just, it's George's film.
Yep.
Try to let go of what you've imagined and watch that.
Yeah.
How did that work out for you?
I think fairly well, because it is his movie, not your movie. He's not making the movie that's in your head. So it's his story. And I guess you've got to sort of, and that's the thing with anticipation, you've got to sort of divorce yourself from your anticipation, because he may not live up to it. And it's, it turned out he didn't. But, because there was a lot of, leading up to it, there's a lot of speculation and build up. And so that was in the mix. So, and we were seeing snippets of footage and getting snippets of bits and pieces. So, yeah, the whole anticipation thing, the expectation was there. And so I was just cautioning people, you know, it's not your movie, it's George's movie, and, you know, just chill. I don't know if that quite worked or not, but anyway.
Did it work on you?
It didn't. Again, because, you know, I knew all the hype, and you know, I was trying to keep a clear head too. And but yeah, the movie didn't connect with me. That's, you know, and that was telling, where, you know, the first three did.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.